Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to another edition of No Name Radio, which, Eddie, I think we're definitely going to have to come up with a name for the show, and I think it's Eulogy Radio, Doomsday Radio.
How about the Graveyard Shift?
Oh, I like that. Just the Graveyard Shift or Graveyard Shift Radio? Just the Graveyard Shift.
Yeah, just the Graveyard Shift.
I like that.
You can throw
there
radio.
There it is. The Graveyard Shift. That's it. Renamed, because they are dropping like flies, Eddie. Just dropping like flies.
Yeah. You know, I can't believe I got the word early that Dr. Jack Kevorkian, Dr. Death himself, passed early. And then James Arness from Gunsmoke fame passed.
Now they're coming two at a time.
Yeah, we better watch out. And I love the sick bastards that come to the show and listen to the show and in our chat room just to see who's going to die.
Yeah. And they start speculating on Facebook and in the chat room. Who's next? They've got like their own little death pool going. And I mean, it's just terrible. Unfortunately, you know, it started with the death of Derek Bougard, which, you know, although we did have a lot of tasteless fun with it, it was very sad. And then Macho Man, which hit hard, but, you know, we still, you know, managed to laugh about that too. And then last week was a Kinnicky, which, you know, was pretty much just all jokes because of, you know, the absurdness of the latter years of his life. And now today, Dr. Kevorkian, and, you know, you can insert your own joke with him, a guy who made his living off death. And James Arness, you know, that's just a throw-in in the deal.
What's the official causes of death on both? I'm sorry. What was the causes of death on both of them?
I think Kevorkian was in the hospital with pneumonia or heart problems or something like that. And Arness, James Arness was just 8. He might have just been. He was 88 years old, and
yeah,
it's been natural. And it was Friday.
Yeah,
somebody had.
I know, right?
Somebody had.
Unbelievable, right? And then you have. Kevorkian. Everybody knows him best known as the Dr. Death, but this guy was in everything. He was an inventor. He invented so many stuff. I'm serious. Not just the suicide machine. You look up a bio or a wiki Kevorkian, you'll find out. I've seen documentaries, and I saw the film, the HBO film where Pacino played him. Actually, was up for a Golden Globe. And Pacino did a great job playing him. He was an inventor. He was an artist. He's a very creative dude. He's a very weird dude, obviously.
Wasn't he a jazz musician as well?
I think he may have played an instrument.
Yeah, or I read that somewhere today.
But a weird guy, and I'm not sure he was ever married either. I'm not sure about that. He had a longtime companion, a female companion, to kind of work with him, but. And then James Arness, I mean, you know, Gunsmoke. I vaguely remember as a youngster, I remember they had a guy named Festus on there, kind of played the Gabby Hayes role on that show. But first run, I didn't see much of it. I saw later on, I saw the reruns. But Friday seems to be whom the bell tolls.
And what's weird is that. It doesn't seem like, I mean, now it just seems like nobody's dying any other day of the week. I mean, I can't think of anybody else famous that died this week. Except I'm going back to last Friday when we lost the great Jeff Conaway. I mean, it's like Friday. Everybody's just dying on Black Friday. I mean, that's what it's become.
Thank God it's Friday. And, I mean, you know.
Meet God,
it's Friday.
Weekend.
To privacy, you know, so they might say, ah, screw it. Hey, you know, listen, you know, you're not going to hear, you know, we're not going to be all gushy and mushy about these deaths. So, you know, I was telling my friend, you know, we do this show and these people are dying, and I started talking about the guy I know has a metal group, I guess, or, and for years, they've been doing ballads of dead guys, like, right after they die. Like, it's totally tasteless. So throughout the years, they've come out with different ballads, and I've actually uploaded a couple, and I'd like to play a couple.
Oh, by all means.
Okay. This is the ballad of Michael Hutchins. Okay? Remember that?
Michael, for those...
dead.
That's it?
That's it. Phil Hartman.
You're dead.
No! What song was that? Is that the theme from News Radio or something?
I think it's the theme for The Simpsons, actually.
Oh, is that what it was? Oh, okay.
Heavy guitar.
Play that again. Play that again.
Dead.
Oh, okay, now I hear.
No!
Now I hear. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I picked it up there. Okay, sorry. I didn't grab it at first.
And then, you know, my favorite group, The Cars, I've been talking about. Billy Milano, who I actually met and talked to and consider a, you know, a casual friend. I had like a half-hour debate about him, how Benjamin Orr died. He's trying to tell me that Benjamin Orr died in a boat accident, so therefore the Orr and him dying is somehow funny. Like, it makes it funnier. I go, no, he died of pancreatic cancer, and he's trying to tell me no. And I'm like, Billy, listen, you don't know what you're talking about. But I really didn't say that because you really don't say that to Billy because, you know, he's from Jersey and he's a big guy. So live, they did a ballad of Benjamin Orr. I think this is at CBGB's.
So it's good. The Ballad of Owen Hart. That sucks. Which one do I pull? Oh! This is going to be the Ballad of Benjamin Orr from The Cars.
Oh, the guy from The Cars. This is the Ballad of The Cars.
You're dead! Let's go!
You're dead! Let's
the Ballad of Owen Hart. Which one do I
what
pull?
Do I pull?
Oh my god, that is classic! Unless you really liked Owen Hart.
Yeah. They have about like eight. And it's like always a crowd participation thing where everybody says, you're dead at the end. You know, they play a little snippet. They have like 10 of these. They have the, I wasn't able to upload the, they have the classic one, which the first one was the Ballad of Jimi Hendrix. And they, you know, it's like, down, 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 you're dead. And then, then they have the Ballad of the, from the midget from Kid Rock. I mean, the really obscure one. So it's always funny. And so they always throw these on as bonus tracks, which are like, wow, people think it's a real ballad. Yeah. But now you don't know. So I figured that was a little apropos for our Dead Air Radio or the Graveyard Shift or whatever we're calling this.
Dead Air Radio.
Yeah, that's somebody brought either. That up, I thought, in the chat room.
That's not bad either.
Yeah.
Tell you what, let's see. We got
like
one,
that.
Two, three, four. No, I'm not counting the guests. Guests, got to log into Block Talk Radio to join the chat and the tastelessness. Bob Forsythe is here. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. All right, we got nine chatters in the chat room. We'll take a straw poll right now. What do you like better, the Graveyard Shift or Dead Air Radio? Just type your vote into the chat room, and we'll pick whichever the majority is. 7,100 tickets sold up in Winnipeg. Good for them.
NHL hockey, Winnipeg, whatever they're going to be, 7,000 sold. That's via Howie Sussman.
Well, didn't we name them the Manitoba Moose Knuckles last night?
Yeah.
The voting is 1-1. We've got a vote for each. 2-2. Look at that. They're splitting it right down the goddamn middle. 3-2 Graveyard. 4-2 Graveyard. 4-3 Graveyard. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Dewey defeats Truman. 5-3 Graveyard. Coming down to the wire. Hanging chads and everything. Wait, I'm waiting for the Florida vote. Oh, we had the Florida. Well, you know, like the Bush Gore thing. I'm feeling like John McCain after the election. Oh, I can make a really bad joke. You can't raise your arms?
Come on.
Looks like, Graveyard Shift is the winner. All right, the Graveyard Shift it is.
Let the mass populi decide. That's the way.
Let the era word go forth throughout. He's voting again. What is this, the Chicago mayor election? Can't vote white. Oh, too soon?
Too soon?
All right, so there you have officially the graveyard, the Graveyard Shift. I like that. I like either of those names. No John Newman tonight. We were kind of hoping he'd show up. We got a whopper of a story about him.
He made our news, which I think he loves because...
I got a text message from him today. Thanks for the shout-out on the show last night. Why no shout-out for Stacey? I said, because she hasn't sent me any dirty texts lately. I like to do things like that. I like to torture him, let him think his girlfriend flirts with me constantly.
I don't think he cares.
No, I think he cares. Because I know he reads... If she texts me, I know he reads a lot of it over her shoulder.
Oh, God. Really.
But, we were kind of hoping he'd be here. Like I said, we got a whopper of a story.
Yeah. Anybody following John Newman's Facebook? Any of you guys? You might know what we're talking about. But since he's not here, it won't be as funny if we, you know...
Probably out having a burger.
So, yes. Yeah, so too. And what's going on? What do we got on the agenda tonight? We got dead. I see dead people. That's par for the course.
Yeah, we talked about our honored dead. I got a few news stories for you. We'll get to them in a minute. We had a lot of stuff uploaded last week that we never got to, so I got some of that we can play. I got some new stuff that I uploaded.
I uploaded a couple bits. I do have
actually,
a story to share with my friends.
Had a story from the other day that you haven't told yet, and I had one that if I don't tell this really, it's very quick. But if I don't tell it now, I'll forget it. And I know you'll appreciate this for several reasons. I don't know if over the weekend, over the holiday weekend, we spent a lot of time over at our friend Chuck's house. He's a good friend. He's pretty much my best friend. And went fishing with him, and we were hanging out at his house. The kids were in the pool, the whole bit. But during the day, we were hanging out inside, and the Sci-Fi Network was running Star Trek movies all weekend long. I think they showed all of them at one point or another. And we sat and we watched part of Star Trek II, which is Wrath of Khan, and we watched The Voyage Home. But it was funny because we're big fans and we like most of the movies except for the Next Generation movies. The only one of those I like is First Contact. But even watching the original ones, and he's like me, he's an original series guy, we sat there and it got to the point where we were making fun of just about everything in the movies. And just having a good time with it, did like our own little Mystery Science Theater thing, right? So now I know you're a Star Trek fan. You remember at the end of Star Trek III when they have to go to Vulcan with Spock's Katra, his soul, whatever you want to call it.
Right, yes.
And they have to do that. They do that long ceremony at the end where the old lady on the pedestal's got to merge. She's got to take the from McCoy and put it back into Spock and Rain Man Spock. You know what I'm talking about there?
Right.
Do that ceremony? Okay. Well, we're sitting there watching the ceremony, and they show one of the Vulcan guys hits the gong, right? And it's an Asian guy. My buddy goes, how racist is it that the Asian Vulcan is banging the gong? I said, well, it could have been a lot worse. He could have said, oh, you got to see what they do with Spock and McCoy over here. Starfleet number one, Joe. Yankee Doodle, they do a good job with the Katra.
Yeah, I didn't think too much about that back in those days.
So,
forever.
So then after they do the ceremony, right, and Spock walks down, he gets up from the thing he's laying on, and he's walking past all of them, and they're all looking at him. And as he's looking at each member of the crew, right, we're just making jokes. He looks at Scotty, and we both go, you're fat. And then he looks at Chekhov, that's a bad toupee. He looks at Uhura, oh, you're black. And then he gets to Sulu, right? And both of us at the exact same time, we don't say anything, we just go, oh, my.
Yes.
Big
now, are we
fan
doing this
Sulu.
With the sound on or the sound off?
The sound was on. The sound was on. And I actually have the Sulu dance uploaded. Have you ever heard that song?
Oh, yes, I have actually heard that. Yeah,
I have that.
They you can play that if you want. I just want to say, what we used to do is we would film the TV and turn the volume down, like memorize the Star Trek scene, right, the actual
mm-hmm.
scene, and
mm-hmm.
say, Jim, you're going to be Kirk when he talks. Howie, you're going to be Bones, and Costa, you're going to be Uhura, you know, whatever, which
right.
would have been great. You know? And we would try to time what they say, and you know, inevitably it was totally dirty or totally inappropriate. Well,
right.
But it was fun, and then you would play it back, and we're like, that's just ridiculous. It was a lot of fun, because we used to like mess around like that. You know, we got a couple from Murder, She Wrote, actually, that was But they were inevitably like totally X-rated in what they were saying, and you know, stuff they would never say on TV.
Right.
So you got this. Sulu song. Want to play that before we get my story, or
I thought I did, and now I can't find where I put it. Wouldn't have this problem if Blog Talk Radio would fix the goddamn switchboard, but that's another story for another day. We love Blog Talk Radio. All that money that's rolling in.
Oh, it's coming in.
I know I uploaded it. I just can't remember where I put it. I'll find it if you want to go ahead and tell your story.
Yeah, I'm going to tell the story. Okay.
All right.
This happened to me when...
You just found it.
No, yes. Oh, you found it? I'll play the song.
All right, here.
You can dance like Sulu.
Hello.
And shake your little behind.
Yes.
You've got to give it a chance when you do the Sulu dance, and your friends will say,
oh my.
I'll say, jump around if you want to, and move your arms like a machine.
Yes.
If you do the Sulu dance while wearing tight pants, some people may call you a
queen.
The Sulu dance.
Sulu, Sulu. Just fine. Sulu, Sulu. Now that's ridiculous.
Sulu dance is fun to do,
well,
but your girl may get jealous.
No.
Cause if you abuse it, your girl will lose it and run up and say,
who is this?
Ah, you can dance like Sulu.
You know.
But some may choose to not.
No.
You've gotta give it a chance when you do the Sulu dance, and your girl will give up the
balloon knot.
I see. Sulu dance.
Yes.
Sulu dance.
Yes.
What you say when you answer the phone?
Hello.
Hello.
Sulu dance.
Yes.
Sulu dance.
Yes.
I wanna dance, we're having a ball.
Thank you very much.
Sulu dance.
Yes.
Sulu dance.
Yes.
Everybody will sing and laugh. Sulu dance.
Yes.
Sulu dance.
Yes.
Shake that big bulge in your pants.
No.
Dance.
Thank you.
It's a Sulu dance.
You know.
It's a Sulu dance.
Thank you.
Do the Sulu dance.
Oh my.
It's a Zulu dance.
Yes.
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 It's a Zulu dance.
Now that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm telling you, you know, I was never a fan of his. I could have cared less about, even as much as I love Star Trek, I could have cared less about George Takei. But when he started being on Howard Stern after Howard moved to Sirius, I've gotten a new appreciation for him. He's so funny. And just once you start doing that voice, like if you start joking around with your friends, you can't stop, because then it just becomes, oh, yes, well, oh, my. Well,
right.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, song's not going over well with some of these chat room people. Oh, I thought it was humorous. I mean, seriously.
The song's a minute and a half.
Yeah.
A minute and
well,
a half.
You know, listen.
I'll play it again.
It's an ADD society. No, don't.
I'll play it again.
He's threatening.
I'll take out the Barry Manilow. That wasn't good. That's not good enough.
Bob Forsythe would like to say, I am here.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
Look at this chat room.
Look at this. We got a phone call?
We got a couple of phone calls. Newman's on the line.
Oh, this is it. This is it. This is going to be better. Yeah, get Newman on. I want to talk to Mr. John Newman. I love John Newman.
Hello, John. John, are you there?
Hi. Hello, boys.
Hey, John. Now, you made an announcement on Facebook. Would you like to make that announcement on the graveyard shift?
Which
as we're calling the show.
Which announcement are we talking about, young man?
It was the interview process, which I'm very happy that you might be.
Yes, I have a second interview with Burger King on Monday morning.
What?
Yes. Before either of you get your panties in a bunch, it's for a management position.
I don't have my panties in a bunch. Management. Wait a minute. It takes two
first
interviews.
First of all, let me cut you off.
Fine.
I see nothing wrong. It's tough to get a job in this economy, bro.
That's correct.
So I don't see anything wrong with this whatsoever. If Jim's gonna mock you, I don't want anything to do with it. All right, Jim, go ahead.
All I'm gonna say is this: I'm meeting with the district manager on Monday morning at 10 o'clock.
Hold on, let me play the. that's the sound I need as Eddie throws me under the boat.
Where's the
goalie?
That's the pussy garbage.
I want to play good cop, bad cop, and I want to be a good cop.
Are you gonna be the guy that dresses up in the Burger King costume? Are you?
You're an ass, Jim. You're a real ass.
Sorry, John. That was.
By the way, did anybody die in your shift tonight?
Yeah.
Well, we had two deaths today.
Well, besides Jackie Lombin and Eva Simos, who else died?
Why?
What do you got against Eva?
Who died of boredom tonight, people? Come on, who died of boredom?
Don't ever mess with Eva. Eva.
Don't disrespect the Eva.
Slap to her.
Sorry. Eva.
Give a shit what you say about Jackie.
Yeah.
But Eva.
That's a bunch of garbage.
Hey, you and Eddie brought me in the same sense with her yesterday. I started to laugh when I heard the podcast, by the way.
Did you like that podcast?
Yes, I did. Great. One of the best podcasts I've heard.
Yeah. I'll never mess around with you.
I don't want to get too much into I know this is No Name Radio. I don't want to get too much, but when is Leslie Trapp going to be on again, please, fellas?
June. Right after the NHL combines. I don't know the date.
Can I get a double crust sandwich, bacon and sausage, side of hash browns, and I'll take a cup of BK Joe, please, two creams and a sugar? Oh, and guys, I have a coupon. I have a coupon for a free croissant. You know what? Can I speak to the manager, please? Can I speak to the manager?
Jim, be nice. No free food for you if you come to New Jersey.
John, this is your father speaking. Did you get the job with Burger King?
Yes.
Eddie, do you believe that my fat, no good son is going to be on Jenny Craig while he works at Burger King? Do you believe
I'm skinnier
that?
I'm skinnier than you, old man.
Oh, I don't.
You are not skinnier than I am, and you cannot drink my partner under the table. You're on Jenny Craig for 2 weeks. What have you lost, 10 pounds? It's like Paramus losing a mosquito.
16 pounds fat. Hold on.
John, did you get the job with Burger King?
Not yet, Bob.
It's a bunch of garbage.
Exactly. Thank you,
Paulie. Thanks, Paulie. manager position.
So, let me ask you, John, and I'm serious. I don't go into this comedy stuff too often. Jim seems to take pleasure in other people's pain. I don't understand that.
Well, Jim has no call. Remember that. Jim's been castrated so many times he doesn't know what pain feels like anymore.
What I want to know is, if you get a job, what is that going to do to your social life? How are you going to be running off the balls to get autographs to meet Steve Smith and Ahmad Bradshaw and Jose Reyes and Nick Fatiu? And I mean, what is this going to do to you? This is going to kill you.
My social life will be perfectly fine, old man, okay? You come to New Jersey, you get your free food. Just shut your trap, all right?
See, that's why I'm being nice to him, so I can drive up to Jersey and
get the free drive. Passaic for a while.
Andy, I'll send you coupons. How's that?
Oh, I love it.
Are you gonna hire Stacy?
For what, management? Hell no. She's gonna find a teaching job. She'll get back on her feet.
Hell no. Hell no.
I'm a manager. I'm a business manager. Okay. She's a teacher. Christy fucked her. She'll get a job back. Don't worry.
I'm sensing the bloom is off the rose here.
I see a cloud coming over Arizona right now.
I know you're going to get the job, John, for God's sakes.
This is very important. Open my pants.
Oh, dear Lord.
Oh, I can see it now. Now, you've got to be manager, you still got to train from the ground up. I can't. Oh, my God.
It's 6 weeks of paid training, Jim.
I'm going to send – I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to send Costa in there. I'm going to have him come in and get pictures of you working
and
the fire.
Send your son. Send your son.
Working the eggs in the morning, making
Costa
the French toast sticks.
How's Costa going to get to New Jersey? He's going to roll over the bridges? He doesn't drive.
Oh, come on now.
He is a lean, mean fighting machine, my friend.
The boy doesn't drive. He's going to have to catch a ride with a taxi.
I think he's driving again. We'll talk to him. Maybe he'll come in.
Oh, boy. Listen, what's he driving?
I know you guys have a little bit of a rivalry, but come on. Let's mend this. Now, let me just ask you,
yes.
Serious, as a journalist.
Yes,
and you know I am a journalist, because I keep a journal.
Yes, well, you're a journalist at heart, Eddie. I know how you think. You're a corrections officer in your past
What goes on at a Burger King interview? What do they ask you?
Why Burger King? They said to me, my resume has been...
Why? Okay, go ahead. Start.
They said, the interviewer... looked at my resume. He says, your resume is more fitted for a suit and tie. Why do you want to come to Burger King?
Yes, Jim?
Yes, Peanut Gallery. How can I help you?
I got nothing.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You. Your head's full of nothing. Don't you have a cigarette while we talk, while the boys talk, while the men talk?
Oh!
So I have another one, you know, fat lush.
Now, do they do any kind of credit check? I know now, you know, it's been a while since I've applied for a job.
Well, I just got a brand new car. My credit is impeccable. I just got a brand new car.
Oh, really? What kind?
I got a Honda Civic.
He's got no job, but he's buying a brand new car.
Yeah, I'm allowed to. I got perfect friendship.
I'm telling you,
yeah.
Having a job is going to be the worst thing that ever happened to you.
No,
I think for this show. Because he won't be around.
No, I'll be on. Don't worry, I'll be on. I'll be calling from Burger King. You give me back offices.
That'll be great.
Yeah. All right. So, just got back.
I was watching the game
I'll make sure to hook up the speakers to the computer so we can blue shirt
right
band along all day.
I don't know what Gilroy's doing. Excuse me. I'm sorry, ma'am. You wanted tomatoes on that? Oh, okay. Hold on. So anyway, I don't know what's going on. You know, what's wrong with Lundquist? Oh. Yes, ma'am. Oh, girl toy with that Happy Meal? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
What do they have?
They don't have Happy Meals.
The BK Kids Meal.
They have Whoppers, motherfucker.
Oh, with the language.
Oh!
Oh God! Now, so what did they send you to Burger King school or something for this training, or what happened?
It's 6 weeks of intense management training. That's all I know.
Whopper, you?
Yeah, basically.
Where are you gonna get this suit and tie too? I mean, you know.
They give you the uniforms. They pay for all that.
Oh my God.
Oh really?
Yeah, they pay for the uniforms.
Nice. How's the medical?
And it's paid medical, dental, vision, paid training, and good salary, too.
What are you,
God.
Good salary, Eddie.
Now, are you going to be able to be professional amongst these, like, young 16-year-old girls at the Passaic Burger King?
Yes, I can, Eddie. I know how to be professional. I have a great demeanor with the teenage faux pas.
Okay, because... you know, I don't want to see another scandal emerge from New Jersey, the John Newman sex scandal.
Well, I just love it. I just love it when Christie came in a helicopter to see his stinking son play baseball the other day. The helicopter came within 2 miles of his house, which is
ridiculous. What's wrong with that?
Using tax dollars to come into his own game?
He is using it. He's working for the state. He works a job. He's essentially on the clock 24/7. He's doing state business. He's got every right to use that helicopter, please. That's the least of the problems.
That's a bigger problem than
a fat governor. Leave him alone.
You go to Kitchener, Ontario for a couple of years and live with Jeff Cutter. Then we'll see what happens.
Leave Tubby alone.
Jeff Cutter. Yeah.
Have him live with Jeff Diamond.
Hey, listen, I like Jeff Diamond.
So do I.
All right. I don't want to
anybody
want to
buy a PS3, by the way?
No, it's dead. I saw your Facebook.
I fixed it.
Yeah, you fixed it. How do you fix a PS3?
Just you sit on it, Bonzi. All right, Fat Boys, have a good night.
All right, take care.
From the side!
Fly master.
Get out of here.
Get out of here. You fry manager. He's going to make manager.
Onion ring boy.
Who's he think he's trying to fool here?
Don't fuck with me, fellas! This ain't my first time at the rodeo.
Faye Dunaway, Mommy Dearest.
Very good, my friend.
I even know the scene. That's when she takes over Pepsi after the husband dies.
Right.
Right? After Al Steele dies.
Right.
Take
very
over Pepsi
good.
Or whatever it is. Yeah. All right. We got another call that's been on hold. I don't know who this is. It's kind of a weird number.
Bring him on.
527. You're on the graveyard shift. Jim and Eddie. Who's this? Hello?
Hello?
527-937. You there? Going once. Going twice.
Dismissed!
Oh, man. All right. 718-645. You're on the Graveyard Shift with Jim and Eddie.
Hey, Jim and Eddie.
Hey,
what's up, guys?
Who's this?
How are you?
Is this Rocco?
Rocco.
Hey, Rocco. How are you, man?
Pretty good.
You out walking a dog?
No, not now. Not yet.
Oh, okay.
Probably not. I don't know.
So how's everything in Brooklyn?
Well, actually, everything's pretty peaceful right now.
Yeah?
Sounds
yeah.
like it.
So what's on your mind, Rocco, tonight? I mean, you open forum.
Open forum? No problem. Like I said in the chat room, who do you guys have, Vancouver or Boston?
I'm still rooting for Boston.
Yeah.
I'm still rooting for Boston.
Right.
Jim was rooting for Boston. I'm on the fence who I really want to win. I don't know. I haven't made a decision, but I think Vancouver is going to win. That's what I predicted before the series. Just not I don't know. What do you think? I mean, where are you now after one game?
I think Vancouver is going to win, but, you know, actually, I really don't give two shits because the Rangers aren't in it.
As long as they riot in Vancouver, I'm okay with
that. That's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for a riot. I even posted on my Facebook just the 3 to 6 more wins till they riot in Vancouver.
Yeah,
exactly.
Something bad can happen. So I guess if something bad probably happened on a Friday. Somebody get killed. So, we'll have to talk about. I don't know. I just hope something crazy happens. I don't know why I'm so anti-Boston. I think they're just too close to New York. That's why I don't want them to win, maybe. I don't know. I can't make up my mind yet. So did you watch game one?
Yes, I did.
Well, you just don't... Huh? So you do give a shit. You do give a shit because you watched. And I watch, too. We all care, but it sucks that the Rangers aren't in it. But
yeah.
Any else bugging you non-Ranger-related? Somebody bug you, some topic? Do you hate somebody? Tell me something. I want to hear. I want this show to be filled up with nothing but venom and hatred.
Venom and hatred?
Yeah. From here on out, I want
don't
to tell me who do you hate? Who annoys you?
Plenty of people annoy me. Although specifically, I think it was your first show you did this, that that guy who said, the world's going to end May 21st, that guy.
Oh, Harold Camping.
Yeah, Camping.
He'll be in Terminal Dreamland soon. He's 89, and he looks like he's 95.
And did you know what, I think it was on the 22nd, he said, I made a slight miscalculation, the world's actually going to end on October 17th. Bullshit. One thing I got to ask this guy, where did he get your numbers? Number one, where did he get his numbers?
Well, he claims it was the Bible, but he's been spewing
where?
It.
That's one thing I don't understand. Okay, he gets his numbers from the Bible. Where? You got to show evidence. The burden of proof is on him. Where did he get your numbers? And what proof do you have that Jesus was crucified on May 1st? And that's another problem with that. If I may get a little
expound away.
Okay. Let's look. This guy said May 1st. Now, if you're one of those people who are like crazy about dates, like when they were, May 1st was on a Wednesday. Now, if you read,
wait a minute. You've gone back in the calendar, and we know that now.
I didn't do it. I just looked it up, and so on. Said May 1st, 33 A.D., Wednesday. If you actually read the Bible, like when you die, it says that they said that they said that they couldn't anoint the body because it fell. Because it fell during the Sabbath. Now, if you know anything about the Jewish religion, the Sabbath falls on a Friday. May 1st was on a Wednesday. I'm boring you?
No, go on.
I'm boring you?
No, it's Jim being an idiot. I'm listening.
Now,
go ahead.
So how the hell can that be? If you
doesn't make much sense.
A lot of things in the Bible don't make much sense. Once you actually look at it from a scientific point of view, it makes no sense.
Well, there's not a whole lot of science in the Bible. It's, you know, I guess based on faith. But yes, I know what you're saying. There's no dinosaurs in the Bible, right, Rocco?
I'm not. I don't mean dinosaurs in the Bible. I don't mean like that. I mean like there's some things that. Oh. I mean like some things that they say when you look at it from. Well, when you look at it, it's like makes sense. Like I forgot who it was. He got swallowed by a whale. You're an asshole, Jim.
That was not me. I am, but that was not me.
That was him. Was not. That was him. The liar. And sabotaging me, Rocco.
I'm sabotaging you?
No. Jim's sabotaging me by blaming me while I'm very.
Free at last!
What the hell?
Jesus. All right.
Don't make me get politically.
Well, Rocco, you have bored me intensely. We've lost all our listeners with this Bible study of yours. I really don't understand. I mean, basically, camping with a moron, you were right. Would you stop Jim? I'm coughing here.
Right.
Mike, somebody's just gone off the rails, ladies and gentlemen. Rocco calls in and all the hell breaks loose. So, yes.
Well, why the hell not? Well, why the hell not? It's the greatest shift we're all bored out of our minds. Let's just raise some hell.
Yeah. So, just
grab some booze, break shit. Just put on some, I don't know, Maiden or something. I don't know, some freaking music. Just put this book to the back.
Somebody's at the door, Rocco.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time, Rocco.
Yeah, it's one of those. Have you found Jesus? Why, yes, he's hiding in my closet. Would you like to say hello?
Oh my God! This show is just awful.
I'm gonna have to kill that cuckoo. Yeah, the cuckoo's dead.
Oh my God!
All right,
Rocco's having a good.
This is. You know what? I think this is Rocco's problem right here.
Chicks cannot hold their smoke. That's what it is.
Rocco, we'll talk to you next time, buddy.
All right, just keep me on hold.
Yeah, bro.
All right, we'll do.
Like, listen.
Okay. Yeah.
What the fuck was that?
Well, I have a feeling it's going to get worse. You know why? Because the person that was on hold, and I put them on, and they didn't come on. Well, now they're back, and I know who it is now. It's Bob Forsyth. And I have a feeling this is going to be interesting. And first of all, let me sit here. Hold on. There he is. Bob, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. God bless you for all this longevity on your show.
Okay.
Well, many years of God's been good to us over here at the Graveyard Radio. Many years been on doing this broadcast, and I welcome you to the show, Mr. Forsyth.
Well, this is Bubba from the Backwoods on the Bob Forsyth Show. So God bless you, too. And I have Jesus right next to me for an interview tonight, exclusive interview after his resurrection. He is here tonight.
Well, Bubba, let's talk to Jesus, or as he's known to his Latino friends, Jesus.
Jesus, he don't like that name. Sounds like one of them fucking terrorists. He gets pissed off about that.
Oh, okay.
Call him.
You're the host of The Fine Line, huh?
Oh, no. Bob Forsyth's the host of The Fine Line. I'm Bubba from the Backwoods, co-host. And Jesus will leave right now and make a buffet down at the Chinese restaurant because he don't like that name. But Sit right here. Don't move. These folks are going to talk to you in a minute. God, the money. Anyways, we're here live on your show tonight to bring some listeners in. Ask any questions you want to ask from Bubba from the Backwoods or Jesus himself. God bless him for being here, I'll tell you.
Jesus, why is gas so expensive?
What'd you say?
I said, Jesus, why is gas so expensive?
Good. Jesus, he wants to ask you why gas is so expensive.
I lift things up and I put them down.
Good. That's not the question I'm asking you.
I am the governor and I lift things up and I put them down.
Now, why is gas expensive?
Because American bastards want to pay for it.
God, that is awful, I'll tell you.
Now, Jim, where do you want to go with this?
Can we get Rocco back on the phone?
Ah, come on.
Who's the dame laying on the bed on your website there? Who's that? Who's
Oh, you seen that? Wait, that is beautiful.
Fornication.
Shut your hell up. I fornicate anytime I want.
Did you just tell Jesus shut the hell up?
To tell him to shut the hell up because he said that's fornication, and I'm saying that's what he gave us the sins about and forgave us for our sins, and I'll have a fun time. You stay on the cross. You know what I'm saying? God almighty, I'll tell you. Yes, hello.
Well, maybe crossing the line here.
Well, Bubba from the Bob Show or Bob from the Bubba Show, we appreciate you checking in and bringing the Christ almighty with us. And we'll talk to you next time. We got to get some other calls. We're almost done here.
Oh, we stepped over the line, huh?
Well, you know, maybe a little. But be sure to check out The Fine Line on Blog Talk Radio. Saturday night at 6:30.
The great Bob Forsythe, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks, Bob.
See, Jesus. Wait a minute. Jesus, you messed this whole thing up. See how you did? Good, buddy.
Yeah.
It's awful.
I just blew up Jesus.
You know, you really are. I have to tell you.
What the
fuck? I don't know. Listen.
But no name.
People are calling up and they're doing bits. And as my friend John Hill once said, Eddie, they're not our old gems. And listen, on air, radio, riffing like that, it's a tough thing.
Hey, look. If everything we did was funny, I wouldn't have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and work a day job.
Well, you've been more looking for that Brinks truck. It's coming soon.
Any day now. Any day now.
Backing that thing over us. No, backing that thing in, right into your driveway.
All right.
Those revenue share check. Come in.
I don't even know where to go.
What else you got?
I got to hold the show on. We're off the rails. I mean, I'm gonna give you a little Sopranos for you, and then we'll take another call.
Six clubs.
So get a broom and sweep up all that shit over there, especially on the Sylvia. All right.
You must have put the horns on. Perry King's bets.
What's a bet?
800.
What the fuck could you possibly have?
Incredible luck.
You're telling me, you miserable fuck.
Better check.
Don't rush me, sunshine. You're rushing me all fucking night.
Yeah, he didn't study this hard in school. John, please, the bet's not to you.
Good. The dealer controls the game.
Thank you.
Do you fucking mind? Jesus, you ever shut the fuck up? And blow that fucking smoke somewhere else. What the fuck are you doing?
Sil, take it easy.
I'm losing my balls over here. This fucking moron's playing Hazel. Get the fuck out of here.
I was just trying to sweep the cheese away from
you. Why? Why now? Leave it there.
Why, Hazel?
I don't know. I was just...
What? Where do you get these fucking idiots, huh? Where do you get them? I'm sweeping the cheese. I'm trying to get... Leave the fucking cheese there, all right? I love fucking cheese at my feet. I stick motherfucking provolone in my socks at night so they smell like your sister's crotch in the morning, all right? So leave the fucking cock-sucking cheese where it is. Here. Go ahead. Have a good time. 800.
Call.
Then why don't you go fix a fucking dick or whatever the fuck it is you do?
Hey, Dr. Freed, you know about that Viagra shit?
He won't quit this fucking guy. Go ahead.
I heard they were sinking a crate of it down to the Titanic to try and raise it.
Very good, very good.
All right, down and dirty. Last card, automatic 1200 bump. Kings, rule the realm. Kings talk.
Check.
Door's wide open, Dr. Freed.
Check.
David?
He checks. Bet, 1200. I'm going to call, because you ain't got dick.
Can I steal this fucking hand? I think I can. I'll raise 12.
See? You should have checked. You got shit, now it's going to cost you another bet.
Let's see them, boys.
Trips.
Three deuces.
Cry me a river. Three beautiful kings.
Flush.
You motherfucker. You slow rolled me. What the fuck were you doing in that hand?
His money's good. He wants a sale. It's his business.
Fuck you, too. I should stay with my guma tonight. Hey, cheese fuck. Give me some.
I put provolone in my socks. So they smell like your sister's crotch.
Wow.
That's now one of my favorite scenes from The Sopranos. It's one of my favorite. When Silvio stands up and goes, I'm losing my fucking balls over here.
Now, what season was that?
That is season two when Robert Patrick is on, he's in for a couple episodes. He owns the sporting goods store that they bust out, and he's addicted to gambling, and he gets into that high rollers game, loses a lot of money, so they take over the sporting goods store and sell him out.
Ah, okay, yeah, that was. Well, by the way, that reminded me. Well, actually, so is there ever going to be a Sopranos movie? They've been talking about that.
I don't know. They keep. I don't know. There's always rumors about it, but it hasn't come to pass yet. So you want to talk to Greg, or you want to tell your story first?
Well, I will talk to Greg. This is vox populi. People want to speak their voice. This runs the graveyard shift. I'm a man of the people.
That guy Bob Forsythe, he kicked our FR audience out of here.
Get out of here.
Adam left. Costa's gone.
Ah, boy.
Guy wasn't
Forsythe.
Funny. Suck. I'm gonna wait until next time his show's on. We'll go hang out in his chat room.
Don't go, because then people will like what you do.
That's true.
Today, one of these lucky contestants will win his or her weight in fish right here on
Wheel of Fish.
That's right. Wheel of Fish. Debuting next week on this program. All right, let's bring Jack into this
Hi, Greg. Jack.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, Jack? How are you, man?
I'm doing okay. Yeah, I was just about ready to put on my bathing suit and go in a jacuzzi, but I didn't.
I don't care.
But
what's going on? Is there a home invasion going on over there?
I was trying to check out Gibson thing with the jacuzzi, and I hit the damn siren button on the...
Okay. Yeah, it's like 90 degrees out here, so, well, not right now, but it's pretty hot down here. I have a story. It's a good one, and this is a true story, and I was picking a time when to call, and it's pretty unique, and it has to do with my night at Madison Square Garden, about three years ago, and it involved the Knicks. So, do you have some time? Because it's a few minutes for this one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, back when I worked for the radio stations down here, they were opening up a new Soup Man store or a restaurant or whatever, you know, the Soup Man thing. So while I was at the station, this guy came in, a promotional guy out of New York City, and he brought some samples of the soups. They always do that when there's a new restaurant opening up, okay? So I got to talk to him in the cafeteria there and sampling all the soups. I think I ate them all. Actually, I didn't save it for anybody else. But I was talking to him, and it's a promotion company came out of New York City, and let's just call the name. The guy's name was John. And we were talking about New York, and I said, hey, you know, I'm going up there in a couple of weeks. And he was telling me how he did promotional charity events for Adam Graves, Reggie Jackson, Mark Messier. And I said, oh, cool, I'm a big Rangers fan. And that's what I'm going up to New York to see is the Rangers. So to make a long story short, he said to me, hey, do you need any tickets for the Ranger games? I said, no, I got them already. But the Knicks are playing in between, and I'd like to go see a Knick game, so if you could get me Knick tickets, that'd be cool. So, you know,
right.
We opened up the store, and he took my email. And when it came close to going up to New York, I haven't heard from him. So I shot him an email, and he shot it back because he was working on it for me, and I didn't know it at the time. And he said in the email, I got some good news. I got some bad news. The bad news, the game sold out. It was against the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, it was no prime game or whatever. But he said, you're Jack Love. The good news is you're going as Mike Love's brother of the Beach Boys. You're gonna have your special night. And I didn't really think too much of it. I just thought, yeah, he's going to give me good seats. That's what I thought. Okay? Mm-hmm. So when we get up to New York, I followed the instructions. You know, he told me where to go and do all this stuff, you know, go in that entrance and that. So I did the tour of the garden one of the days that I was up there. And we're doing the whole thing, you know. And after we're done, I went to the guard or one of the ushers or whatever, the security guys, because I was looking at the a range of the suites and all this, and I couldn't find this particular area. It was like section 212 or something. It wasn't on there. It wasn't on any of the seating diagrams or anything. So I said, hey, that's funny. Maybe it's on the floor or something.
Right.
So I asked the guy, the security guy, I said, hey, where is this section, this 210? First words out of his mouth, who do you know? And I said, oh, my God, something's big here. Because that who do you know, this is James Dolan's private bar area. Nobody even knows about this section. I had no clue it was in there, where all the movie stars, all actors, anybody big goes to relax.
Wow.
For the game, to drink, and to eat. So on the day of the event, I go to I entered the area across from Cafe 31, you know, where the players go in. So here come the Knick players. They're coming in. And I said to myself, to John, I text him a message. I said, hey, I don't want you to get in any trouble for this. You know, they got to know the truth. Because I had to study up on Mike Love's stuff. You know, did he really have a brother? Which I don't think he did. And I know he was big in the environment. So I had to make sure I answered some questions, right? You know, I was kind of scared, you know, they might do something. But he said, nah, don't worry. So I get in the place the day of the game. You know, it's about 3 hours before the game. They told me what time to go in there. So I went into the elevator, and they just said, go up there, and they assisted me right into this little room. A lady comes up to me, takes my jacket, says, what's your name? I said, it's Jack Love. She looks on the list. There it is. So she says, help yourself to anything in the room. All the food is free. All the drinks are free, everything. Just enjoy yourself. You know, it wasn't really much made out of it because this is where all the stars go,
right,
to get away from everything.
Right.
Nobody bugs them at all. I mean, I actually tried to pull out a camera and take pictures, and the guy came up to me and says, nope, you got to put it away. there was all Leroy Neiman's pictures, the scale that Frazier and Ali stepped on, you know, for the big fight.
Right.
So it was
right.
It was amazing. So all these stars are, you know, they said help yourself to the dinner, and man, it was nothing but pork chops, filet mignon, foods from A to Z, everything.
What?
Drinks were free, and they were like 16 ounce, and it was unbelievable. They just always came up to the table, you know. I don't have to do anything. Here comes stars.
Wow.
Here comes Spike Lee. Then here comes Richard Klein, the old comedian. Then here comes Walt Frazier. Cal Ramsey, the old Mick announcer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The guy who built the garden, the Japanese guy. I mean, there was – and I even shook hands with James Dolan. And so
you
when
did.
People say – "What? Yep, he's a little short, stubby guy. And let me tell you something. I never thought – I always said, where are these guys? You never see them. Well, James Dolan is there every night. He's in his own special area. It's not a suite. It's an enclosed bar, fish tanks and everything. Unbelievable. All these stars are sitting next to me. So I sit down. Here comes Billy Baldwin. He sits next to me. And then on the other side of me is Miranda Kerr, who was the Victoria's Secret runway model from a few years ago.
I know.
So we're all talking, okay? So we're enjoying ourselves and all that. A lady comes up to me and says, "You Mr. Jack Love?" I said, "Yeah." And she says, "Where's Mike?" I said, "I don't think he can make it today. I think he's some in Greenland or something. I gave him some good, you know, he's doing some environmental thing. I don't know. He couldn't make it. That's why I'm here." And she laughed. So she said, "I'll be right back with the tickets." We're eating dinner. Me and my girlfriend look at these tickets. She comes back and says, when you're ready to go, just let me know. We'll assist you to your seat, okay?" I looked at these tickets. They were $3,995 each. A ticket.
Wow. Whoa.
Two tickets, $8,000 almost. I almost shit in my pants. I said, "Wow." And then, but then what she said after was hilarious. She says, "Well, since you're related into the Beach Boys, we're going to put you on Garden Vision. Okay, and play some Beach Boys songs and put you on." I said, "No, no, please. No autographs, no audio, no TV, please." She said, "Okay, we have to take you around." So my seats were originally right near Spike Lee, right there on the sideline, front row, right on the court. So I said, I can't do that. Nobody's going to know who to. Crap, I am and playing Beach Boy music, you know. Hey, this is Jack Love, you know, who the hell are you? So anyway, I said, "No, that's okay." So she comes back with a different pair of tickets. She said, "We can't do that." You know, I said, "Hey, that's all right. Give me another pair." So she comes back with another pair of tickets. We looked at them. They were only $2,000 a ticket. So I'm all done eating, you know, and I had drinks out the wang, you know. I mean, unbelievable. So we're getting ready to go to the game, and we get walked down to underneath the basket. I was sitting right underneath one of the baskets, front row, right in front of the guy who sits with the camera on his knees. So here comes Billy Baldwin. He sat next to me on my left, and Miranda Kerr sat on the right with her boyfriend. And I had a good time. It was amazing. Actually, I got on Garden Vision. The ball came towards me. I had a drink in my hand, so I kind of kicked it. And then I slapped five with Billy Baldwin. It was really a unique night. And it's a night I'll never forget. I think anytime I had to go to the bathroom, somebody came and got me, you know, and said, "Hey, we'll assist you." I mean, I was treated like a star. It was unbelievable. But there is a secret room. I don't know what they're going to do with it when they're remodeling it. But it is amazing that I never knew this, but James Dolan is there for pretty much every game. And I did snap a couple of pictures with Miranda and Billy Baldwin, but I wasn't allowed to take any pictures in that room. But it was an amazing night.
This sounds a lot like those that couple that crashed the president's party there and have made a career of
Yeah,
so you're kind of like them, but for the sports version of it.
Right. Now, I worked for ESPN, the local affiliate here in Fort Myers. So, you know, I've gone into the Yankees clubhouse. I've gone into the Ranger locker room like two years ago when I was working. So I actually saw a lot of these players. And you know, the same with Metallica, because of the rock concert. So I've met a lot of these bands, and I don't really think anything of it. All I was interested in is what kind of food did the guys bring. That's all I cared.
Right.
But, you know, when you're in radio, it was just a little different. And, you know, everybody would get all hyped up. To me, it wasn't a big thing. But when I did this thing, that guy went through a lot of trouble to set this thing up. As a matter of fact, I still got the card. The lady said, hey, anytime you're back in town, give me a call. But, you know, I don't think too many questions. That was really set up really nice. That guy, that whole thing, because I think the drink bill was at least $1,500, at least. And, I tried to give him a tip, and the guy said, no, we do not accept tips. This is for the people who come here that want to get away, that are able to sit here and relax. There were so many stars in there. It was unbelievable. I was, like, starstruck. I mean, everybody was in there. Walt Frazier, you know, one of my favorites from back there. I think there was, I'm not sure, hockey players, but there was a lot of basketball players. There was a lot of stars, a lot of models. But it was a night, and it only holds, I'd say, about the most, maybe 100 people. It was really amazing.
So there is a secret room, or was a secret room in Madison Square Garden, and the great Jack Love was there.
I have a couple of the pictures I took with Billy and Miranda there. But, you know, I was into the moment, you know. I'm not like my girlfriend was snapping. She has all the pictures, but I'm not with her anymore. So, but it was a night never to forget.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's I like the fact that my two favorite parts are, well, three. I have three favorite parts. My favorite part is, you don't, this unknown section, right? You look at this. Mm-hmm. You ask a guy, and he's like, who do you know?
And right then I knew there I was in for something, because I was, when I came in and I looked at that seating chart, you know, at the entrance, I'm saying, where's the section I'm supposed to go to? And it ain't on there. And I looked and looked, and I said, man, I better ask somebody. So when I did the tour of the garden thing, and I asked the guy, first thing out of his mouth, who do you know? And it was like, whoa. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and then the second thing is, when you look at the price of the initial ticket, which must have been like, I didn't know that there were tickets this much. I mean, you know, printed, you know, for an actual dollar amount on a ticket.
I got the picture. I took the picture of the other ticket, so I'll send it to you guys one day because, you know, people say, I don't believe it. Well, I got the proof.
I believe you.
You know, but when somebody throws a ticket that amount, I mean, that's unreal. That's season tickets. And if you're talking for one game, one frickin' two-hour Knick game. And so you know how much they pay for season tickets.
And then I also think your bar bill, which I found very impressive. And my last question for you about this whole story is, did the Knicks win?
Yes. Yes, they did.
Ah, well, yeah. Very good.
Yeah, I mean, we were right underneath the basket. I mean, it was just unbelievable, incredible. And, you know, when we had to go to the bathroom or went another drink, we just tell the waitress, hey, come on, we need another drink. And they don't accept tips. They didn't accept tips. I said, wow. You know, so I was treated like a movie star.
Well, you're a star in our eyes, the great Greg.
That's right.
Elliot, Mike Love's brother, Jack Love.
Yeah. I tell you what, I'll dig up when I come up there, I'll dig up some T-shirts. I have so many shirts for my radio stations, but it did happen in a good way. And, you know, it's a night I'll never forget. It'll probably never happen again. But that I'd say that night was probably about a $15,000 night easy. I mean, I walked right in there. Oh, yeah, after the game we went up, back upstairs, they said they, you know, I just stood there for a little while. Not as many people coming back there, but I still had a few drinks. And the food was out of this world. I mean, when they had a bowl full of filet mignon, I could have taken that whole frickin' thing and put it in my jacket. I mean, it was so good. Right. I couldn't believe it. And there's Dolan coming up to me. He's a nice guy. He really is, but I think that's his problem. He enjoys mingling with all these stars and the product out there. Now with the Knicks and Donnie Walsh going, it's like we're going back in circles again.
Yeah.
What a revolving door.
A lot of people in New York are upset about the Donnie Walsh dismissal. Are they parting of the ways?
I am. Maybe.
Let's hope he fires Clint Sather next.
Yeah, and the Rangers, I do. And by the way, it's not Ranger night, so I can't explain anything. I was going to tell you this story a little while ago. I'm just waiting for a right night, and I said, I was starting to get lulled to sleep there, and I said, maybe people would like to hear this. So. Pretty interesting.
Well, save it for the Blue Shirt Banner Show, because that's, right. Plus, we're usually searching for things to talk about over there because, it's off the off season and everything. But that is a good story, and I enjoyed it. I'm going to look for that secret room I assume they're going to have that secret room after the renovations as well.
I would say it's probably going to get renovated again because it was small, and it was only for the stars and James Dolan. It's his private bar. It is not a suite. I thought, maybe it's upstairs. I was going to go in a suite. Hey, I'd be happy with that. I'd be happy with hot dogs and hamburgers, even a bag of potato chips. But
right. It's
a certain room that's in the back. You go in the way where all the players come in. That's where you enter it. I don't know where exactly it is, but I was amazed when I saw this. I said, man, I never thought this was here. So apparently James Dolan does watch the games from his little hideaway there.
Yeah, he's in there. Fernando's hideaway.
All right. All right.
All right, my friend. Thank you for the great story. Thank you for joining us in the chat room and calling in. We appreciate it.
You got it.
Thanks,
all right. Have a good night.
You too.
Bye. Take care, Jack. Bye. That was a good story.
Yeah, it was. Very interesting. Now we know where the name came from.
Yeah.
All right. We got no more phone calls, so let's hear your stories because we got sidetracked. And...
Okay. Well, this happened to me yesterday. I had given my wife my wallet to hold, and she had it while she was at work, so I had no wallet. I had a doctor's appointment and had to drive to the doctor's sans wallet. So she was at work, and, she's a school teacher, so it's hard to, kind of go to her work and get stuff and the whole bit. So, I decided I'd go to the doctor, and, they got my insurance stuff on file. There's not going to be a problem. I start my car, and listen, we have a couple cars here, and the one I mainly use for myself, because I don't really go far with the crappy car, which is, I have this 1994 Nissan Altima, which is, it's got like 167,000 miles on it. I mean, for the most part, it's never given me any trouble. I got it used off my friend, and it's, it's durable. My father calls them rice burners, by the way. Anything that's Japanese made, he's got to get over World War II. He didn't even serve. So anyway, so he's telling me, the engines, those used engines used to be the same engines they put in the kamikazes. And I'm like, no, that was Mitsubishi, okay, Dad? I don't think Nissan or whatever. So anyway, we get on with that. So I drive to this doctor's office, and I get there, and, I start the car up. When I first started up, it's shaking, like idling, very rough. And then I'm like, oh, boy, I don't know what's going on here, but I got to drive to the guy. I had to go to this appointment. So car's running rough. It's just So I get to the doctor's office. I open the hood. You know, I'm not some kind of technical, mechanical maven when it comes to cars. I barely know where to put the oil. So, you know, I take an oil measurement, and it's very low. Oh, shit. I'm like, here we go. There's, like, no oil in this freaking car. The engine's going to seize, and, you know, I start panicking, you know, the whole thing. So, I go into the doctor's office and said, listen, I said, I don't have my wallet on me. I have no money on me. I said, first of all, I scraped enough change from my freaking car to buy one quart of oil. And when did oil become $5 a quart? I mean, I
buy it at a gas station?
I bought it, it was a 7-Eleven.
Oh, well, that, okay, same thing.
Right. So I had enough for one, but I'm like, if there's a leak and I have to get back on the Long Island Expressway, this car is going to seize up if there's a leak and I only put one quart in. So happens I know one of the secretaries there, what do they call them? The people who take you in, whatever. I said, listen, I have no wallet. I think my car is like, if it's going to seize, it's like, can I borrow $20 off you? And I'll be back tonight. My wife has my wallet. She's like, sure. So I go buck wild with this $20. I buy like, I think, four quarts of oil, and I dump it all in the freaking car. Well, apparently you're not supposed to dump that much oil into your car, no matter how low it is, because it's, you know. So what happens is the car starts emitting this, like, fume that, like, it's like pluming all over Long Island now, right? So a smoke's coming out of the car. I look like I'm, Speed Racer, like I'm trying to get rid of Racer X with this smoke screen. And I think I don't know it's the oil. So I'm like, this car is going to die. So I'm going home. I'm taking the back streets because I don't want to get stuck on the expressway. And I see a white car in the middle of the road, a car pulled over to the side, and I see a police officer come from the car on the side. So I said, well, I got no cell phone. I got no wallet. Maybe I'll ask this police officer if he can help me or, call a tow truck, whatever. So I pull over into a side street. I get out of the car. The police officer comes over to me and he goes, can I see some ID? Can I see some ID? I'm like, well, I think, I'm having a problem with my car. Can I see some ID? Can I see some ID? I go, sir, I have no ID on me right now. I go, I don't have my wallet. Library card? No, I don't have my wallet. Nothing on me, you got your baby footprints on your birth certificate? No. You got those little bronze shoes? No. I don't have anything. So the cop's like looking in the car, looking around. I'm outside the car. I left the car first to approach him for help. Okay, he never pulled me for anything. So he reaches into my car and he takes my prescriptions. And he goes, are these yours? I go, yes, they are. And he's like, you're so-and-so, Edward Geick? I go, yes. He goes, when were you born? I go, 223-65. And he goes, I'll be right back. Now, he goes in the car, the police car, and I'm saying to myself, now, feel free to chime in. I thought it was not right that he went into my car, reached into my car, and took my prescriptions. If he would have asked them, I say, how about those prescriptions there? Can I take a look at them? Fine. But the fact that – go ahead.
My understanding is they're supposed to ask before they search your car. Now, you can tell them no, and they can go ahead and do it anyway. But my understanding has always been that they're supposed to ask you first.
Right. And this guy was – on a weasel scale, he was like a 9. He had the shades on. He's thinking he's like Joe Cool, And meanwhile, I was looking for help, and now all of a sudden, and I don't want people knowing my personal business. I mean, I don't want them to know what drugs I'm on. I mean,
right.
It was only depression, whatever. But still, imagine I was on something else, like an antipsychotic or something. Like
right.
This audience should be. Which I should be on for being a Ranger, by the way. Ranger fan, by the way.
Are these your pills? Yes, they are, and I really need to take one right now, officer.
Yeah,
the voice,
exactly.
The voices are back.
Yeah. I need these just in case Bob Forsythe calls the show again.
Oh,
so, he comes back, and he's like, all right, he's like, everything checks out here. He goes, get this car fixed, the next time I'm going to give you a $1,500 fine. All right. So he starts walking to this other car that he was at. And then I said the magic words.
Uh-oh.
I said, what's your badge number?
Oh, boy.
I know it was wrong, but I felt like, you know, listen, I have rights. And he said the name, and he said the number, and he kept walking. I said, what was that? And then he goes, I'll
Rosasco,
be right back.
Badge number 1247.
Could have been, Jimmy. Goes in his car. He comes back with two tickets. One for some excessive exhaust.
Right.
It's like, this one is, if you get this fixed within 24 hours, you know, and plead not guilty, it doesn't. And then he has me for disobeying a traffic control device. Now, to me, I mean, I have done a little bit of research on this. I know that's making a right on red, or I guess maybe a stoplight or something, you know, whatever.
Right.
I don't have no idea what this means. So I called a couple of my cop friends. You know, I have some law enforcement buddies. And I said, what's the deal with this guy? And he basically told me that when you say, what's your badge number, they know that you're going to call the station and complain.
Right.
So what they're going to do is they're going to write you a ticket. So when they get asked, well, why did this guy complain, you could say, well, I wrote him two tickets, and then he got crazy. Now, what I find out the next day is I went back to the scene of the crime, so to speak, and it turns out that this guy had been stopping cars, looking at their registrations and inspection stickers in the middle of the street. So any car that came through, he was looking at. Now, my question is, there was no stop signs or stop lights or anything there. Is he trying to make it look like I disobeyed him? I guess maybe he's the traffic control device because I pulled over. I think he thinks that I pulled over because I had exhaust coming out of my car when I was just going to ask for assistance. So no less do I wind up, car gets all screwed up. I wind up getting pulled, you know, I pull over for help, and I wind up getting two tickets. Now, I know the exhaust thing I could see, and I told him I put too much oil in it. That's why it's happening. But he wanted none of it. And I know I did the wrong thing with the badge number. I shouldn't have done it. But why can't I ask as a citizen, what's your badge number? And that this guy had to go back in his car and then write me tickets after he initially let me off. So
right.
I'm fighting both of them. And I'm gonna have my day in court.
I don't blame you. And
so
I would take the I would get that the nurse you borrowed the money from to go with you just to prove your story of why you pulled over. You were looking for assistance from a public servant, and naturally, as they often do, they let you down.
Yeah, I get screwed. And I'm sorry. When I say, officer, can you help me? Do you have any ID? You have any ID? Why is he coming up to me like that?
Right.
Like, he didn't pull me over. I pulled over by myself. Cutter wants to know how much to fine. I think the disobeying the traffic control device is like 85, and I got the car fixed, and it was another pain in the ass.
So what was wrong with the car?
One of the fuel injectors was screwed up. I had to put a whole new fuel injector in. So, but the thing is, when they give you something, a ticket for something that's, you know, mechanically wrong on your car.
Right.
As a matter of fact, like, they're supposed to give you an affidavit that you had it fixed within 24 hours.
Right.
This guy didn't even give me, I had to go to the freaking precinct to get one. And then I go, and my mechanic looks at it, goes, you know, for excessive exhaust. He goes, oh yeah, you're public enemy number one. Because this cop has been a dick. And I wish I could say his name over the air. Once this is adjudicated, I will. But that was my story. Public enemy number one. Could have been worse, Cutter says. It shouldn't have been anything.
That's right. He was looking for assistance. He was reaching out to law enforcement for help.
Yeah.
Public service. You know what you should have told him after he gave you the tickets? You know, I pay your salary. They love hearing that.
Oh, yeah. I should have never said what's your badge number. But I was outraged. I was outraged.
And rightfully
you don't
so.
Guys treat me like I'm a criminal. I was asking for assistance, for Christ's sakes. Anyway. So that's the show.
We're goddamn ridiculous is what it is.
Fines are fine, Cutter. You think I got money to spend on fines? Give it a break.
Exactly.
And it's 2 points off my license for that traffic control device bullshit.
Yeah.
What device did I disobey? Nothing. I pulled over. He never pulled me over. This moron, this gimp, this
buffoon.
Mr. Joe Coop with his shades thinking he's on NCIS Miami or whatever one of those shows are. Who's that actor there? The one who always does the
David
look
Caruso.
With the... Yeah, he thinks he's David Caruso.
He's a nincop. Nincop poop is what he is.
You got that right. So that's my story.
What was it, Nassau? Was it county cops? I don't know. What county are you in? Suffolk? Nassau?
Suffolk County cop. No school, Jack. Nothing. Just nonsense. And what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. And the Suffolk cops out here, they make about $100,000. From $80,000 to $100,000.
Nice.
I have a Suffolk cop friends, and most of them are really nice guys. But a New York City cop, on the other hand, makes $40,000. And those guys actually have to pull their gun once in a while. Over here, it's like freaking, Barney Fife.
Yeah. I know the New York cops don't make shit.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my ticket.
So that's that.
That's my ticket. And that's that bit.
So you got any plans for the weekend as we wrap this up?
Got nothing. I want to hit the movies. I was thinking actually making a gambling junket to Mohegan Sun, but I don't think that's going to happen after I got the bill for the car. I don't know. I'd be fucking conservative here in these hard economic times here. Until that Brinks truck with all this money that the Block Talk revenue is going to bring in for us.
Any day now. Any day. So you're keeping it close to home this weekend?
Yeah. What are you doing? Anything good?
What am I doing? Going fishing tomorrow morning. And then,
you're like the fishing magician over there.
Hanging out with our friends tomorrow. Yeah, getting back into it. Been a long time and kind of decided this year I was going to I was running the website and everything. I didn't have much free time, but now that we're getting near the end of that, and I can get back into some of my hobbies, and this was one of them. So went last weekend. We were out there Saturday morning at Lake Pleasant, and then we went Monday. We went to Saguaro Lake, which is about 30 miles from the house.
That's good.
So,
Now, are you going? So you're freshwater.
Freshwater fishing, yeah.
Yeah.
Saltwater
fishing
would have to be like a weekend excursion type thing. We'd go to San Diego,
right.
which we've discussed. So we could go down to Mexico, but then we won't come back alive. Before we're off the air, we'll see you guys Wednesday night. Push Your Band Radio. Good night, everybody. All right.
No, graveyard shift.
Well, yeah.
All right, Jimmy. Take care.
That fucking Bob Forsythe. If I ever see that cock, he really ruined. He really dragged this thing down the hole.
Oh, he was terrible. He probably gets no listeners on his show, and he figured, let's do a show. I'm going to do my bit here.
Right, yeah, I'll take my routine over there. See?
Yeah.
So, all right, sir. I'll talk to you talk to you soon. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too, Jim. Take care, man.
All right, bye.